between Yom HaTzimot and Lag BaOmer. And that is a great jumping off point for us this morning to try to explore Lag BaOmer in particular, and maybe even to put it in the context of Chodesh Iyar in general, in a very substantive way. In a very substantive way. And once again, a big Yasher Koach to all those who have an AP later today and still join us this morning. Ashreichem v'tov lechem. It should be a schus for both the morning and the afternoon. But what is Lag BaOmer all about? And that's really a pretty key question. You know, maybe we'll start from Mitzad Din or Mitzad Minhagim. So there's a machlokas. They're different minhagim, as you know, in terms of Avel Susvira, when Jews keep the Avel Susvira, going back to Talmidei Rabbi Akiva and perhaps to other tragic periods in Jewish history as well, the period of the Crusades, much of the devastation of which happened during the time of Sfiras HaOmer. So we know that there are many variations, but the two most popular minhagim in terms of when to keep Avel Susvira is either from Pesach up until Lag BaOmer, or from Rosh Chodesh Iyar up until right before Shavuos, with a break on Lag BaOmer. And particularly if the Avelos goes from Pesach up until Lag BaOmer, so there's a lot of variation in terms of when the Avelos ends. Shulchan Aruch actually talks about the Avelos running all the way through Lag BaOmer and ending on Lad BaOmer, Lamed Daled. That's not at all a popular opinion among Ashkenazim. Among Ashkenazim, many poskim say the Avelos goes until this morning, up until the morning of Lag BaOmer, and it ends on the morning of Lag BaOmer. And some poskim have the opinion that the Avelos already ceases last night when Lag BaOmer began. So what's that all about? At first glance, you wonder, Yamim Tovim always begin at night. So what would be the Svara in saying that the Avelos goes up until Lag BaOmer morning? So the poskim write, those who, the strong camp who hold that the Avelos ends this morning, so they point out that in general Avelos ends in the morning. That when you have, these are Minhagi Avelos, when you have Avelos Mitzad Adin, so a person loses a close relative, Rechman Litzlan, so you have the most intense form of Avelos is Shiva. Shiva usually begins at the Kavura, or at the end of the Avil's involvement in the taking care of the mace and the gain towards Kavura. So let's imagine the Kavura happens on a Tuesday afternoon. Avelis begins, they begin to sit Shiva right after the Kavura, late Tuesday afternoon. So Tuesday is day one. The next week, Monday, will be day seven. Avelis ends Monday morning. After Shacharis, usually Avelis sit for a couple of minutes, and then the Menachem get up, and that's the end of the Avelis. We call that, now that's not the entire day seven, we call that Miktsas Hayom Kikulo. That a part in the context of Avelos, in a limited list of other contexts, generally negative ones, Gemara tells us that part of a day is acceptable as the entire day. So rather than sitting Shiva all the way through until Monday evening at Shkia or Tetzach Kochavim, Monday morning you have a little bit of Avelos and the Shiva ends at that point. So Poskim suggests, same thing here. So Lag BaOmer is the last day of the Avelos. So Miksiyam Kakulo, Avelos already ends. You go into the morning and the Avelos already ends. Now, that doesn't sound very exciting. It doesn't sound like a Yom Tov. It sounds like the last day of Avelos. And the truth is, L'chora, the machloka is over whether the Avelos of Sfira ended last night or ended this morning is probably about that question. Is Lag BaOmer the end of Avelos, or is Lag BaOmer a sort of a Yom Tov that's being mevatel the Avelos? When Avel has a Avelos that goes up to Yantiv, when Sukkah starts, so then that's the end of the Avelos. So is the idea that Lag BaOmer's last day of the Avelos, I'm going to say Miksim Kukulo, or is Lag BaOmer sort of a Yom Tov, and a Yom Tov which is mevatel and cut short the Avelos? As soon as the Yom Tov came in last night, that ended the Avelos. Another way to think about this is a machlok is whether this is a Lag BaOmer is primarily about Rabbi Shimon or primarily about Rabbi Akiva? And is it for some reason we're celebrating the yahrzeit of Rabbi Shimon, and that celebration of the Hilula of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai is Mevatel Avelos? In which case, if the idea is that Lag BaOmer is Yom Tov, Mevatel Avelos, so that already began last night. If you see primarily about Rabbi Akiva, who was Rabbi Shimon's Rebbe, but Talmidim Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Shimon was from the second round of Talmidim. If it's about the Avelos over the first round of Talmidim, and the Talmidim ceased to die on Lag BaOmer, if that's the way you understand it, or Lag BaOmer marks the end of the deaths of the first set of Rabbi Akiva's Talmidim, so then it's the last day of Avelos. Some would even say you gotta wait till Lad BaOmer. That's a position of Shulchan Aruch. And Ashkenazi position is no, Mixem Kakula, you're ready, and Lag BaOmer morning. Now you might be thinking at this point that if you're gonna take that second approach, Lag BaOmer is not a very exciting day at all. It's the last day of Avelos. Right? It's the last day of Avelos, it's not that anyone was Nitzal. They stopped dying because they had all perished already. There was no one left. So it doesn't seem like much of a Yom Tov. The last day of Shiva, the last day of Avelos. Okay, so now we move on. Doesn't seem like something to celebrate. And yet, everyone agrees that Lag BaOmer is there is a minhag to have a degree of simcha in Lag BaOmer. We don't say tachnun. And minhagim of that sort reflect this. So the question is, and I think is important to address, to understand today to understand Lag BaOmer in a more substantive, sophisticated way, to appreciate what's the avoda of Lag BaOmer. What am I supposed to gain from Lag BaOmer? Right? Just before we were singing Omer Reb Akiva, and in part because this is about the Talmid Reb Akiva. But again, like what exactly are we singing about? And what are we dancing about? So I think it goes back to an idea that we touched on a little bit before Pesach. And I think I mentioned at the time that Lag BaOmer would be the chance we really dive into this idea. And that is, I believe, that if you take the position, which reflects the position of many, many poskim, that the Avelos ended this morning, it's really that Lag BaOmer is really about Rabbi Akiva and not about Rabbi Shimon. So where's the simcha in that? So I would suggest to you that the simcha of Lag BaOmer is the simcha of Rabbi Akiva starting his second yeshiva. We already touched on, leading into Pesach, when we were talking about Haggadah, we were talking about the fact that the Aruch HaShulchan's approach, the fact that all the Rabbi Akiva's Rebbeim came to him for Seder. And Rabbi Lezer, Rabbi Yeshua, why they're coming to the Talmud? It began to develop at the time that although Rabbi Akiva may have been their Talmud in many ways, he was their Rebbe in optimism. He was the king of optimism. He was the ultimate self-made man, the man who up until he was into adulthood, not only was he not Talmud Chacham, he hated Rabbanim. Hated, with a passion. That's what the Gemara says. Rabbi Akiva says as a younger man, before he came to learning, he would have been ready to bite a Talmud Chacham if he had access. Actually, vicious. And he turned himself around in absolutely remarkable ways. To someone with a positive view of Rabbanim, to someone who was a Ben Torah, to someone who was a Talmud Chacham, to someone who was one of the greatest Talmud Chachamim, Matikei HaMesorah, of all of Jewish history. And to someone who had a yeshiva of 24,000 Talmidim. That is overwhelmingly enormous. Take the five largest yeshivas in the world right now, the 10 largest yeshivas in the world right now, and you add them up, they probably will not add up to 24,000. That is a very large yeshiva. Extraordinary. To make himself. And he's the person who, as we said, it's reflected in so many different Agadas Chazal, is a man of extraordinary optimism. We spoke about how on Erev Pesach, so many Jews, review the closing Agadata of Makos, where in looking at Churban, and looking at the Shulim Hilchuba, Rabbi Akiva is able to not deny reality, But with a full embrace of the sad reality of Galus, he's able to also notice within it Chizuk, for being able to visualize even more strongly the coming Geula. And he's a man who, his Rebbeim came to him to see, how are we going to prav a Pesach Seder? How are we going to celebrate Pesach when we're in Galus? How can we connect with Geula even in Galus? And he's the man who, after everything that he had built fell apart, or so it seemed, he started again. And we may have discussed before Pesach that not only did he have the 24,000 Talmidim, but he had fielded a candidate for Mashiach. I mean that incredibly seriously. Gemara and Chelek talks about this in the last parak of Sanhedrin. The Rambam talks about this in Hilchas Malachim. The last two parak of Hilchas Malachim are dedicated, last two parak of the Mishnah Torah are dedicated to Hilchas Mashiach. And the Rambam talks about Bar Kochva. Rebbe Kiva thought that Bar Kochva was Mashiach. And that was a very serious suggestion. The Gemara and Chelek talks about big machlokas hatanaim. Was it possible? Was it too early? Was there a Masorah that Mashiach wouldn't come before the year 4000 or not? Rabbi Kiva felt strongly that Bar Kochva was Mashiach. The Rambam says, once he was killed by the Romans, once he was murdered in battle, he fell in battle. At that point, they knew that he was not Mashiach. But this is a real serious possibility. And I mentioned before Pesach, Rabbi Henkin suggested the death of Rabbi Kiva's Talmidim, they may have been the Hezronics. If the Rebbe believed that Bar Kochva was Mashiach, the 24,000 Talmidim with the Hezronics in Bar Kochva's army. And it all fell apart in exceptionally bloody fashion. The Bar Kochva rebellion had great hope for a couple of years, and it was brutally, bloodily put down with an overwhelming force by multiple legions of the Roman army. And Rabbi Kiva's yeshiva is gone. And everything, it looked like everything he had worked for was over. And he was an old man at this point. No one would have faulted him for retiring. Sure. Move on. Sit and learn. He tried. He tried it all. He tried everything. He gave it everything he could. Next. Instead, he starts a yeshiva with five Talmidim. Five Talmidim? So the bloggers probably said, the cynical, some bloggers are not cynical, but the cynical bloggers probably said, also ran, should move out of the way, his time is over, they had 24,000, now he has five, just give it up, don't be silly. And yet, those five Talmidim, one of whom is Rabbi Shimon, Stam Rabbi Shimon Mishnayis, Rabbi Shimon Baichai, the group also included Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yossi, 80% of all named statements in Mishnayis are from those four Talmidim of Akiva's second yeshiva. He picked himself off, he dusted himself off, picked himself up, dusted himself off, and he tried again with remarkable success. We spoke about this a little bit before Pesach. I want to share with you a medrash on Bereishis. The Rav mentioned a drasha in conjunction with Rabbi Akiva's second yeshiva. The Medrash says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I believe the Medrash quotes Rabbi Abahu. Rabbi Abahu said that based on Diyukim in the Psukim in Bereishis, Rabbi Abahu said that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was Bona Olamos Umachrivan. Bona Olamos Umachrivan. In the process of Bria's Olam, describing the first parak of Bereishis, HaKadosh Baruch Hu built and then destroyed and built again and destroyed and built again and destroyed. And he kept rebuilding until he got the world the way he wanted it to be. Until he arrived at the final version. And that's where we are at. Apparently for those who are Nishay, apparently some Sifra Kabbalah have a more extensive a treatment of this multiple cycles of creation in advance of ours. And again, and some point to that. I think Pharisees perhaps and some others point to that possibly as part of the explanation for the references to extinctions of dinosaurs and so on and so forth. But however you understand it, whether you see those midrashim as presenting something that archaeologists can find, or you see that medrash of the Bono Lamasu Machrivan is something that's entirely spiritual. Either way, you have to ask yourself, what does that mean? Kadosh Baruch Hu built and destroyed and built again? And then he destroyed again? Bono Lamasu Machrivan? What? Kadosh Baruch Hu needed trial and error? Kadosh Baruch Hu doesn't make mistakes. Kadosh Baruch Hu is Kal Yachal. Ribbono Shel Olam is omnipotent. He could get it exactly the way he wants it the first time. What was the point? What was Ribbono Shel Olam accomplishing in building and destroying and building and destroying? What does that medrash mean? So the Rav suggested that to understand this medrash about HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we have to use a principle that Chazal have and that the Rambam talks about extensively, that the idea of Alach T'Bedracha. The idea of Alach T'Bedracha. It's a topic, as we know, of the first two parak in the Rambam of Chazdeus. We understand the idea of following Hashem's model, following HaKadosh Baruch Hu's way, to figure out human ways of trying to imitate the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu describes himself to us in the Tanakh, the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu presented himself to the Nevi'im, that's meant to give us a sense of how we should try to act, how we should try to shape over time, shape our personalities towards the divine model. V'halachta bedrachav. It speaks to many different aspects of Midos, to humility and to how we react to things, and so on and so forth, the whole span, the whole scope of the human personality. So Rav suggested that this medrash also is meant to be understood and absorbed with the lens of Halach to Bedrachav. We understand that, Kishem, that Rashi quotes, Yonach B'yam HaShvi, Kadosh Baruch Hu rested. Kadosh Baruch Hu rested. Vayi nafash. Shavas vayi nafash. Kadosh Baruch Hu rested. Kadosh Baruch Hu was tired after Bria Sa'olam. 6 days of Bria exhausted him. Kadosh Baruch Hu was omnipotent. And the fifth parak of Avos opens with Basar Amaris Nivra Olam. Kadosh Baruch Hu created the way the Torah describes HaKadosh Baruch Hu's creative process in creating the universe. It was amiros, it was mamaros, it was speech, it was effortless expression of his will that called the universe into being. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wasn't exhausted. So Rashi quotes from Chazal, of course HaKadosh Baruch Hu wasn't exhausted, but hichtiv be'atzmo menucha. HaKadosh Baruch Hu dictated to Moshe Rabbeinu, you should describe the divine reality of Shabbos, that first Shabbos, as though, in human terms, as though I was resting. Describe it in human terms as though I was resting, to tell us that what we can do on Shabbos to be the kind of Alach to Bedrachav is we rest. The human equivalent, human analog of the divine reality of Shabbos is human menucha. So, hichta v'yasa menucha. Kadosh Baruch Hu dictated to Moshe Rabbeinu, describe the divine reality in human terms so that we human beings can do something with it. So we can seek to be mekayim v'alach t'bedrachim. So the Rav suggested this mysterious medrash on Bereishis. Bono lamasu machrivan, this medrash of Rabbi Abba, that Kadosh Baruch Hu was creating worlds and destroying worlds, before we finally got to the present version in which we live, our Olam Hazem. The point is the Chozer Ubona. What we're supposed to take away from this is the capacity after Churban to rebuild. The capacity after Churban to say, I tried it, and it didn't work, and it failed. I fell on my face, and I'm going to try again. I'm right back at it. That is Bono Lamusu Machivan V'Chozer Ubona. That's the Valach to Bedrachav, and that's the divine model. Whatever it means in divine terms, we don't understand. But the human equivalent is the capacity to go to a version 2 and a version 3 and a take 2 and a take 3 and a take 4 and a take 5 and to try again and again and again and to not quit despite having failed. The Rav spoke very movingly about survivors of the Holocaust who came to these shores or came to Eretz HaKodesh and rebuilt. And they had lost so much, unimaginably lost so much. And the capacity to rebuild a life and rebuild a family and to start again, unbelievable. And that was the koach of Rabbi Akiva. As we discussed in Erev Pesach, the Gemara and Demakas, to be able to see Churban and not to fall into the rut of denial and pretend it didn't happen. He saw the Churban. And he said, I see the Churban, and that gives me koach to seek Geula. And not only in terms of looking for HaKadosh Baruch Hu bringing Geula, but here's the key point. Rabbi Akiva also had the koach to build involve himself in building again. After the 24,000 Talmidim were gone, and Bar Kochava was gone, and he said, I'm going to build yeshiva again, just 5 Talmidim, but with what remarkable results. Our Masorah of Torah Shabbat Peh is built predominantly on the teachings of Rabbi Akiva, on the teaching of Rabbi Akiva to those second Talmidim. So I would suggest to you that the traditionally predominant view in Poskim that the Avelus of Lag BaOmer ends in the morning. And I said before, that means that Lag BaOmer is not as much about Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai in particular, as much as Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai was one of Rabbi Akiva's second set of Talmidim, because Stam Rabbi Shimon is Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai. And it's a celebration of Rabbi Akiva trying again. Not a celebration in terms of the Avelus up until this point was for the first set of Talmidim Rabbi Akiva. And that avails ended this morning, Mixium Kukulo. And the fact that there's an element of Simcha today is a very, very profound, meaningful, and practically impactful Simcha. It's a Simcha of our capacity to try again. It's a Simcha, you know, the Chazal tell us that the gift of Tshuva was Kadma L'Briyas Ha'olam. That Kadosh Baruch Hu, in some sense, created Tshuva before he created the world. Which presumably means on a simple level, that one of the design principles in creating the physical Bria, and setting up a Bria in which human beings would be challenged with Nisyonos and Olam Hazeh, one of the Sof Ma'aseh B'machshava T'chila, it wasn't practical until people were actually sinning, and then Adam does Tshuva, and Cain does Tshuva, and so on and so forth. But one of the underlying hanachos, one of the underlying premises that Kadosh Baruch Hu set down in crafting the world is that people would have second chances. Kadosh Baruch Hu created the world with tshuva. Kadosh Baruch Hu created the world with people's capacity to try again. And as we said before from the Rav suggests in the Medrash Rabbi Avo, HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself modeled that to us before he created the world. And maybe those two midrashim are talking about the same idea. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was modeling trying again. Kadosh Baruch Hu was modeling take two. Bono Lama Sumachivan, Bono Lama Sumachivan, and Chozer Bona. That's incredible. That's truly a simcha. That's an incredible simcha. That recognition that a person could try again. So often we feel like we're overwhelmed. This didn't work out, and that didn't work out. And I had dreams for this, I had dreams for that. Certainly this year, many of us had dreams for, you know, what this period of time would look like. And not just in terms of, I had hoped I would be able to do X, and I can't, which is certainly in our minds. But also, I had hoped I would be able to accomplish X, and I feel like I didn't yet. I was looking forward to certain elements of growth in my learning, certain elements of growth in my midos, certain elements of growth in personality. You know, there were things I had planned on or I had dreamt of accomplishing over these months. And I feel like it didn't happen. It didn't happen because of Corona, or it just didn't happen because we often don't end up accomplishing everything we intend to accomplish. So number one, I would say on the Corona side, as I've said to you guys many times in the past, is that you have grown incredibly in your learning over the last number of months. And if you actually look and see what you've accomplished, and think about what you've done, there's a lot to take pride in. But it's going to be true, Corona, no Corona, at every stage in your life. If you're thinking and you take stock, a Jew will notice things that he did not accomplish. There are things that I, Baruch Hashem, did accomplish over the last week, month, year, at every stage, and there'll be things I'll say, you know, if I'm being honest, and we'll look back and say, here are things I didn't accomplish. Sometimes they're small, sometimes they're big. Sometimes I'll, at different points in my life, I'm good. Everyone sometimes feels like I really messed that one up. I really blew it. I really blew it. And Lag BaOmer is a celebration of the gift of tshuva. Lag BaOmer is a celebration of the gift of trying things again. It didn't work out. Whether it didn't work out, I failed, or whether it didn't work out because circumstances were such that things fell apart, like the Churban, the ruins of Har HaBayis, Rabbi Akiva passed by with his chaverim at the end of Makkos. So it's a celebration of the gift that Kadosh Baruch Hu gave us, the extent of human capacity to try again and to try again and try again. As we see from Rabbi Akiva, sometimes it may not look that way right away, but sometimes the take two might look dismal, but be extraordinarily effective. You know, it was, and the divine equivalent, I would add, is Luchos Rishonos and Luchos Shnius. Right? Chazal point out, Luchos Rishonos were given with great fanfare. Luchos Shnius were not given with such great fanfare. And Luchos Rishonos, the process of giving the first set of Luchos started on Shavuos with the Kolos of Brachim, and even the substance, the material of the Luchos was provided by the Ribbono, directly by the Ribbono Shalom, celestial stone. And 40 days later, they're smashed to smithereens on Shavuos B'Tammuz, following a colossal mistake by Klal Yisrael, the Chet of the Eagle. Luchos Shnius were given B'tzina, Chazal Kaman. They were given much more low-key. P'sal Lacha, Shein Luchos Avanim. Kadosh Baruch Hu says to Moshe Rabbeinu, you bring the stone, you carve the stone, and I'll, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I'll inscribe the Aseres HaDibros in the stone that you provide. Not so razzle-dazzle. And there were no Kol Sobrachim the second time. Moshe Rabbeinu goes up quietly, Rosh Chodesh El, and he comes down on Yom Kippur. And those luchas survived. Those shivri luchas, the broken bits of the first luchas, are also in the Aron. But l'maisa, the luchas that we have, we live the Torah of the second luchas. They're the same words. But the luchas that we have intact are the second luchas. Now, as a matter of fact, Chazal stress even further that perhaps specifically it was because things were b'tzina, because it was so low-key, that's a message to us, that sometimes when things are done with greater tzinius, they have greater staying power. But an additional angle is what we're talking about. Kadosh Baruch Hu was modeling for us there as well, with Briyas HaOlam and with Matan Torah. Two of the most, arguably the two most critical turning points in world history. That Kadosh Baruch Hu was showing us that sometimes you think the take one didn't work, what's the point of a take two? And the take two might at first look like it's not so exciting and not so hati-tati, not so razzle-dazzle, and yet the take two works. And that was true with Rabbi Akiva. And that could be true with each and every one of us. So that is a profound simcha. That's something that's really, wow, that gives a person such strength, such koach, that I could be like Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yehuda, like Rabbi Yossi, like Rabbi Meir. I could be like the second set of Talmidim. Could try again. My take two could be like them. Wow. Wow. That's extraordinary. And let's add one more layer. Let's add one more layer. Let's end where we begin. You know, before we were we were singing and playing Amar Rabbi Akiva. Ashreichem Yisrael. That's the message. This is the message of Rabbi Akiva in that closing Mishnah of Maseches Yuma. He's saying, you Jewish people, you should know you have the capacity for tshuva. And even after Churban Bayis, and there's no Avos Yom HaKippurim, which is the primary topic of Maseches Yuma, you should know, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will directly give you kapara. If you reach out to him, if there's a take two, even without a voice on Kippurim, you can have kapara direct from the Ribbono Shel Olam. Wow. But it's not only Lag BaOmer. We were saying before, after we were playing the Niggun, which to my mind is a central Lag BaOmer Niggun for this reason. It captures so many elements of this idea, the Rebbe Kiva and the content, the trying again and the tshuva. I said before that Lag BaOmer fits into the general theme of Iyar. If you think about what all of Iyar is about, the four significant days in Iyar. In chronological order, that's Yom HaTzmut on the 5th, Pesach Sheni on the 14th. Sorry about that intermission. So once again, we're saying that four significant days in chronological order are Yom HaTzmut on the 5th of Iyar, Pesach Sheni on the 14th, Lag BaOmer on the 18th, Yom Yerushalayim on the 28th. In historical order, you might say it's Pesach Sheni, the Tkufa of Moshe Rabbeinu, Lag BaOmer, the Tkufa of Rebbe Kiva, then Yom HaTzmut, Yom Yerushalayim over the last century. What do those 4 days have to do with each other? What do those 4 days have to do with each other? They seem so disparate. They spread over thousands of years. They seem to have to do with totally different things. Pesach Sheni is about bringing the Karban, Lag BaOmer we were just talking about, Yom Yerushalayim, Yom HaTzmut, the restoration of Jewish sovereignty over the extent of different extents of Eretz Yisrael. I think, with this perspective, they are actually about the exact same theme. What's Pesach Sheni? You turn to Parshas Baal Oscha, by Midbar Perek Tes. Moshe Rabbeinu tells the Jewish people almost exactly a year after left Mitzrayim, Rosh Chodesh Nisan, he gets up and says, Rabosai, gives a clap on the bima. Rabosai, Kadosh Baruch Hu wants me to tell you that Karban Pesach last year in Mitzrayim was not a one-time mitzvah. It wasn't a Horah Shah. This is a mitzvah l'doros. We're going to be bringing Karban Pesach every single year. We're going to bring Karban Pesach this year. Now we have a Mishkan. We're going to bring Karban Pesach in the Mishkan. Gevalt. Everyone is thrilled. Except for a handful of people who come to Moshe Rabbeinu and say, what about us? Lama nigara, why should we lose out? We're Tamei Emes, discussion Chazal. How they become Tamei was because of the bones of Yosef, was it because they were taking care, they were the Chevra Kadisha to take care of Nadav Avihu. They were Tamei Nefesh, and they said, we don't want to miss out on Karban Pesach. Okay, we're Potter. We don't want Potter. We want Karban Pesach. And Kadosh Moshe Rabbeinu says, I'll go ask Ribbono Shelam. And Kadosh Baruch Hu tells Moshe Rabbeinu, you go tell them. You got it. You got it. Pesach Sheni. And Rashi quotes from Chazal a remarkable thing. We didn't need all of this storyline. It could have just been, Vaidabar Hashem Moshe Leimar, if a Jew was Tameh, was Bedarav Hachoka, he couldn't bring Pesach Rishon, he brings Pesach Sheni. The way most paragraphs in Chumash are introduced. But here there's the backstory. Why the backstory? So Rashi quotes from Chazal, they were Zoche, that instead of just HaKadosh Baruch Hu, presenting it as Arusa de Le'ela, HaKadosh Baruch Hu just said, here's the din, if you were Tameh Pesach Rishon, bring Pesach Sheni, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave them the opportunity to catalyze, to draw that halacha. It was going to be the din anyways. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave these Jews the opportunity to ask for it, to seek it, to through their human initiative, to have that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave them the chance to come to Moshe Rabbeinu and said, Lama Nigara, we don't want to lose that. We don't want to just be Potter. We want a mitzvah. We want Karban Pesach. But I want it. I don't just want a free pass. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave them the opportunity to express their desire for mitzvahs. And gave them the opportunity to have the schus that their desire for the mitzvah, their ratzon, their cheshek, their chefetz, would be the beginning of the story of the giving of the halacha of Pesach Sheni. Pesach Sheni is a celebration of second chances, very clearly, and it's a celebration of human initiative. That's Lag BaOmer, as we discussed extensively before. A celebration of second chances, a celebration of extraordinary human initiative, trying and trying and trying again by Rebbe Kiva. And a reminder, we can all do that. And Yom Atzmaut and Yom Yerushalayim of the last century are some of the greatest moments where we see HaKadosh Baruch Hu backing up and giving the koach to holy human initiative. The HaKadosh Baruch Hu sought to give strength and give capacity, set us up for the capacity to succeed. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu, with such obvious Nisan Nistarim in 48 and 67, the Hashem Lakechem Esalech Bekarav Machanecha, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, there was such a clear Ashras Hashchina that was helping Kalal Yisrael to win battles against all odds. Mitzvah, as Yom Yerushalayim draws nearer, well, Blin Neder have the chance to discuss this more, but I already mentioned Yom Atzmaut. I highly recommend that during these weeks between Yom Atzmaut and Yom Yerushalayim, to take the time to get your hands on a copy of 6 Days of War and to read about the Nisim v'Neflos that Kadosh Baruch Hu was doing. Not Nisim Geluyim, but extraordinary Nisim Nistarim, extraordinary expression of Kadosh Baruch Hu giving us the chance to act and enabling us to succeed in extraordinary ways. That is the theme of all of Chodesh Iyar. That celebration of human initiative, that Kadosh Baruch Hu wants us to act and is ready to support us in what we're doing. Pesach Sheni, Lag BaOmer, Yom Ha'atzmaut, Yom Yerushalayim. And to wrap it all up, Chodesh Iyar is the only month that lies entirely within the mitzvah of Sfiras HaOmer. Sfiras HaOmer begins halfway through Nisan, and it climaxes in the first week of Chodesh Sivan. But only Chodesh Iyar is totally encompassed by Sfiras HaOmer. Chodesh Iyar is the only month where every single night there's a mitzvah of Sfiras HaOmer. And I think we discussed a couple of weeks ago, the Bnei Yisachar suggests that when the Torah casts Sfiras HaOmer as the journey from the Korban HaOmer on the second day of Pesach to the Shtei HaLechem on Shavuos, from the Korban of barley on Pesach to the Korban not only of wheat but of chametz on Shavuos, it's because Sfiras HaOmer traces the growth from Isarusa Dilatata, the growth from the Yetzias Mitzrayim, which was almost entirely a gift from HaKadosh Baruch Hu that we did practically nothing to deserve. Halalu Ovde Avodah Zarah, Halalu Ovde Avodah Zarah. B'mem Tel Shari Tumah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu B'chaz V'tu, yeah, Dam Pesach Dam Mila. But essentially, it was a gift from above. Is Ararusa de la Ela, his Aurus Milamala. And we grew over the course of 7 weeks to the point where we could be junior partners in our destiny, our spiritual destiny, where we could say, Nasa Venishma. We had spiritually matured to that point where there could be a very significant Is Ararusa de la Tata, his Aurus from below, human initiative. That's what the entire sphere of Sa'omer is about. And it's not at all surprising that Iyar, being the central month of Sfiras HaOmer, and being the only month which is Kol Kula within Sfiras HaOmer, that is the theme of Iyar. The theme of Iyar is growing in this fashion, becoming more emotionally and spiritually mature, understanding that Kadosh Baruch Hu wants us to act. Kadosh Baruch Hu wants us to make choices to live the way he wants us to live. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to make choices, proactively make choices, to grow into the sort of Avdei Hashem that he is rooting for us and expecting us to become. And, as I said, of course there will be bumps along the way. There will be loads of bumps along the way. There always are bumps along the way. That's the nature of Olam Hazeh. It's the Olam HaNisayon. But Chodesh Iyar in general, and today, Lag BaOmer in particular, is a celebration and a reminder of the fact that Kadosh Baruch Hu expects us and gives us the ability to say, okay, that didn't work, take two. That didn't work, take 157. That's what Lag BaOmer is all about. And that's one of the secrets to success in life. Success in every realm, particularly success in the most important realm. success in crafting ourselves into continuing to cultivate ourselves into the sort of Avdi Hashem that the Ribbono Shel Olam wants of us. The capacity to choose, that Kadosh Baruch Hu gives us the ability, that gift of proactivity, to choose to be proactive. Kadosh Baruch Hu gives us the ability to choose to try again, and tells us just because it didn't work out the first time doesn't mean it's not going to work out the second time. If it didn't work out the first two times, it can very well work out the third time. That is exactly what we see. Kadosh Baruch Hu demonstrated to us with Bria Sa'olam, Bon Olam Usumachrivan, and he built again. He gave a first set of luchas, and they didn't work out. And he gave them again, and they did work out. And Rabbi Kiva showed us the way as a human being who built himself and built himself and built himself and hit all sorts of roadblocks and built himself and built himself further. And I should say Rabbi Kiva and his Rebbetzin together built and built and tried and struggled and made it happen. And then that fell apart and they did it again. And it looked like, what's that going to come to? And we are all absolutely products of Rabbi Kiva's second yeshiva. So something to think about. And that's what we celebrate. We end Avelos, the morning of Lag BaOmer. And Lag BaOmer is a Mixas Yantif because it's a celebration of Rabbi Kiva's second yeshiva.